All right, guys. Sorry. Can you talk?
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Hi. Hello.
There we go.
I'm in your computer and I'm singing.
Oh, God. All right, guys. Let's get it started in here.
Woo!
Broadcast. Hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. We are one podcast under jobs, indivisible with liberty and social justice warriors for all. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda. That was so good.
Hello, Shandy and Giddy.
Woo-hoo! So good. So good.
Thanks.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love you.
This is why Colleen leads the podcast.
What?
Yep.
I literally thought of that and wrote it down while you guys were just talking about Amanda's clogged nostril. So.
So someone was using their time very productively and some of us weren't. I'm not going to say who it was.
Anyway,
like discussion, like bonding experience.
And that's right? Very important. I've already bonded with both of you, so I feel like right. I could skip out on the
I just felt like you guys needed to know what was going on with my nasal passages. I just felt like that was important.
Yes, and I do hope that that gets better.
I do too.
Anyway, guys, welcome. This is episode 30. Dirty 30.
Dirty 30.
Yes.
It's also
kind of 30s like your best years. Yeah, but it feels like your real 30s where it just kind of sneaks up on you all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Like, weren't we just on like episode 27 last week?
Seriously. Weren't we just on episode 1 like a day ago? I don't understand. No, but yeah, it's our nice. Dirty 30. It's also my last podcast as a 32-year-old.
Nice.
I know.
Awesome. How does it feel?
It feels
momentous.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
It's like what ifs. Do you have plans for tomorrow?
Yes, we're doing
hanging out with us in the evening.
We're doing the joint podcast at the Married Man Show, which this episode will be out. Podcast, oh, it's but... yeah.
Maybe it is.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, some of us are in states where that would be perfectly mm-hmm. acceptable.
I think half of us are in states where that is perfectly acceptable.
Right.
True. Yeah.
But of those half, how many can actually partake?
Just
I think
Boston.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
So Boston will be having a joint.
Yes. And actually
the rest of us.
That episode will be in the feed before this episode is in the feed. So if you're listening to us and you skipped over it, go back and listen to it. Listen to it on our feed though. Don't listen to it on the Married Man Show feed. We're cooler.
Right. I'm sure it was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to give Colleen a really good birthday present, listen to it on our feed.
Yes.
Not that it matters. It's the same file. There's no download difference. But
except,
seriously, I'll know.
Depends on who you ask.
I'll know, though. I'll know what feed. I will. yeah, so anyway, guys, how's it going? How was your week? The only thing I have is Lady Gaga kicked ass at the Super Bowl, and she's my hero. The
end. Oh, didn't she, though? So good.
I have
so
no... much. I have watched that performance. No... Oh, my gosh. Somebody just came into the studio with flowers. And,
oh.
And a balloon. And a balloon. Oh.
Balloons are awesome.
And
that
look,
is so
a
nice.
Giant bottle of wine.
Wow.
Thank you, Schmoopsies. Nice. Oh,
he totally wins at husbanding tonight.
Yay!
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, everybody's got to get it right once in a while.
Seriously, though, can we talk about balloons? Like, I feel like they're underappreciated, and they're fucking awesome. I'm very excited that you have a balloon.
Balloons have this, like, ability of just, like, brightening your mood.
Do you guys remember in... like in middle school or junior high when it was your birthday and your friends would give you balloons to tie in your backpack? Was that a thing in your schools?
I don't know if that ever happened to me, but I would have fucking loved the shit out of it. God,
yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't carry a backpack anymore. Damn it.
I might start.
Awesome.
Just the entire month of July, I'm just going to carry a backpack just, you know.
Yes.
Just for the balloons?
Just for the balloons.
That's awesome. But anyway, Gaga. So Zach has been also like obsessed with the performance. I myself watched it like 6 times on my own the night of afterwards. And then I watched it with Zach. He keeps asking to watch Lady Gaga. So we've watched it like 3 times. I've watched it like 3 additional times with him. I love the shit out of that performance. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. I did not watch the Super Bowl. I did watch the Puppy Bowl. But I made an exception for Gaga, definitely, which also got the link from Colleen. So thank you for that. But yeah, it was.
Did I ever tell you guys? Great. I think Amanda knows this. When I met Lady Gaga's mom at LaGuardia and hung out with her for like 6 hours during the day.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Story. What?
I love that story.
So back on,
do tell.
So back on August 4th, 2007. that's true. That's the actual date. I know you love when when I get all savant about my dates, when I get all a beautiful mind about it. I was supposed to go to a wedding with Amanda and on my friend Joe. And Joe had like this giant fight with his girlfriend the night before, or some crazy shit. And he shows up. And this was like when I didn't travel very much at all. And he shows up to my apartment like an hour before the flight's supposed to leave instead of getting us there. Or 40 minutes before it's supposed to leave. Or whatever it is, by the time we get to security and check in, the flight leaves in less than 30 minutes and my spot got, you know, I couldn't get on the plane. I got put in standby. Like my seat was given away. No. Oh, and Joe, the guy who made me late, got on the fucking plane and was like, all right, well, see you there. And I'm like, you're such a fucking asshole. So
Joe Matero.
So Joe, so that I was on standby for flights leave between LaGuardia and I think it was O'Hare that I had to go to. LaGuardia and O'Hare every hour, right? Hour and a half. It's pretty frequently. Oh, that was also the day I went through LaGuardia. So I would go outside and I would like, you know, because it was boring waiting in the terminal. And then I would go back in through security again and, you know, wait for the next flight. And I went through LaGuardia's security probably 4 or 5 times before they confiscated my Swiss Army knife. So I like got through security multiple times. I don't mean like once or twice, like multiple times before they finally caught it in the zippered part of my bag. So anyway, there was this woman who was trying to get to Chicago as well. And we got to talking because I was upset. I was at one point, you know, I was very frustrated. I was upset. I probably was crying at one point because I just couldn't get there. So this very nice lady, like, you know, was sitting there and she starts talking to me like, what are you going for? And I'm like, oh, my college roommate, one of them's getting married and she's in Chicago. You know, my friend got on the flight and I tell the whole story. And she's like, oh, well, you know, my daughter is performing at Lollapalooza and I am trying to get there as well, but I'm also on standby. And, you know, we're talking. And then at the time I worked for this internet radio station and I told her about it and she starts, she's like, oh, really? Like, can I give you my daughter's like MySpace page or something? Because at the time she only had a MySpace page.
Because it was still MySpace. Yeah.
And, you know, so she gives me the information. But, you know, she's like, when you go and look her up, like, I just want to warn you. She performs under the name Lady Gaga. And, like, I you know, I just want to warn you that she wears some risque outfits. And I think she showed me some pictures or something that she had. Because I remember seeing them at the airport. And, no, I had my laptop with me. So we must have pulled it up on the laptop. And, you know, I remember thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. And she's like, well, her father doesn't really, you know, isn't really too thrilled about it. But we're proud of her. And, you know, so we kind of became friends over the course of this like 3 or 4 hours that we were stuck together. And I didn't get on a flight until 4 o'clock. She got on a flight at like 10. The flights were originally supposed to leave at 6:30 in the morning. So, you know,
oh my God.
But yeah. And I brought that back to my boss at the time and was like, hey, I met this lady whose daughter performed at Lollapalooza. And he looked at it and like turned his nose up and was like, no. And then, you know, 6 months later, Just Dance was everywhere, and I was like, fuck you, dude. I hated that guy. So
it's true. A lot of drama in our apartment over that gentleman.
Oh, man. Well, I want to say, A, that is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Also, B, we had talked a little bit last time about whether or not we should do more live shows, and I think that we definitely should, because if the viewers could have seen the epic battle that just went down between Amanda and her cat.
It was pretty ridiculous.
I was like trying to listen to the story, but also watching this whole thing. That was intense. I'm going to say you ended up winning, Amanda, right?
Oh, yeah. He's chilled out. Let's see. There he is.
Aww.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he gets it in his head that like he's just gonna do something, and he's sitting there like while you're talking, he's sitting there looking at me, and he's like kind of bending like he's gonna jump, and I'm like, don't jump. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna jump, and I'm like, don't jump. Hits my lap. We must have cut his toenails recently, because he didn't take a chunk out of my skin, which is what I was expecting. But, like, you know, he's massive. So he's, like, caught up in the wires. And, and he's caught up in me. And I'm, like, down here, like, trying to, yeah. Oh, oh there God. We go. See you later, buddy.
Woman protects pussy from cat.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty much.
That's so crazy, though, Colleen. I love the fact that you met her mom before she was, like,
yeah, it was
really,
cool.
Really big. That's
she
crazy.
Was performing with Lady Stardust, I think that's her name, at the time at Lollapalooza.
Nice.
So
crazy.
Yeah, super wow. Cool. But anyway, anybody got anything? Amanda, you said you had quite the week.
Oh my God. I had such a week. So I can go last, because a lot of things happened in the past 7 days. It's a lot of things.
I'm trying to remember what I even did. I ran a 25K on Saturday.
Woo! Whoa, that's awesome.
Congrats.
Thanks. It was, so I think I mentioned before, I'm training for the Big Sur Marathon in April, and this like 25K was 15.2 miles. It was a little bit beyond like what I would have been running last weekend. And it was significantly harder, because it was a trail run and it was on a lot of hills.
So damn, girl.
Very challenging. But you know, I finished and I'm alive to tell the tale. I went running yesterday and
yeah. How'd you feel?
It was kind of rough, but I'm feeling fine now. And that's kind of pretty much most of what I did last weekend. I did have one exciting thing that I did on Friday, but I will save that for a little bit later in the feedback. So I can be done for now.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So guys, I had a week. I'm going to go backwards just so it's a better build up that way.
Okay.
yesterday, Daniel and I and some of our friends went to a community organizing meeting in Brooklyn. Yeah, it was super exciting. One of our councilmen and like a synagogue a couple neighborhoods over from us sort of organized this thing, and it's just getting like bigger and bigger and bigger, and there was like a line around the door to get in, and they did this whole panel discussion about like immigration, and it was really, really cool. It was really it was inspiring and intimidating all at the same time. Cause cool. Just like, there's so many ways you can get involved that it was almost like, oh my God, which one do we pick?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's something we're going to sort of marinate on for the next week. But yeah, I'm excited to actually get involved and do some things that are useful, and instead of just, you know, like protesting and marching is really cool, but yeah, I wanted to sort of, I'm new to activism and I wanted to know what I could do that's really, necessary. So that was cool. Super Bowl yesterday or Sunday. That was fine and good. Went to visit my friend in New Jersey on Saturday, who has a seven-month-old baby. And the last time I saw him, he was just like a newborn, and now he's like sitting up and like making noises and crawling.
Katie's?
Aww.
Oh, no. My old housemate, Kim.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he's just like the happiest little kid, and it's just
Kim,
like, oh,
who made
wow.
me my fake ID.
Yes, and made me my first fake ID too.
And now she has a baby. Oh.
Yeah, now she has a baby. We went to see Lion, which loved.
Oh, good.
Absolutely loved.
Okay. Tell me this. Did you cry?
I didn't, actually. I didn't. But I warned you, I'm not a big movie crier.
Yeah, but this isn't any movie.
I know. Like, it was really emotional. And like, if anything, I was sort of like just happy. Like it made me really like happy and like renewed my sort of faith in humanity.
I was just agonized though for most of it, because like you put yourself in the position of the, you know, protagonist, and you put yourself in the position of his brother, and you put yourself in the position of his mother, and just like, oh my God, I can't believe.
Yeah. I don't really cry at movies though. It's very rare that I cry at a movie, but it doesn't mean I enjoyed it any less. I thought it was it's absolutely beautiful and such an important and cool story. And I thought the acting was awesome. And like the whole time I was, and then I saw Moonlight the night before.
Oh, how is that?
And it's like, it's beautiful. It's really, really, really beautiful. It's like another one that's very much a human story and telling a story that of a point of view that never really gets heard in a major scale like that. And just after seeing those two movies back to back, it was like, I kept thinking, if La La Land wins all the acting awards, I'm going to be super pissed. They were just really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I go see them, people. They were really touched my heart in all the right places. But yeah, and then the big news of my life last week. This might not be as big of a thing for you guys not being in the New York City area, but there's a little thing called the Broadway musical Hamilton.
Oh, this is a big thing everywhere.
And they do a virtual lottery that they give out 45 tickets to every show. And the lottery is my homepage, and I fill it out every single day. And every single day I get my daily on the hour, unfortunately, email. You can set your clock by it. It's like, oh, unfortunately, not going to see Hamilton today. But last Wednesday, it freaking won.
Amazing.
I felt like turn bucket. I felt like I won the freaking gold ticket. That like I just stared at my computer and I was like,
"Oh my God,
that's awesome, dude! How was it? Was it life changing?"
Yeah, it was. It was life changing. But not only so you win a ticket. Well, two tickets. You can sign up for one or two. I just always signed up for two. The seats are in the motherfucking front row.
Wow.
It was so freaking close.
Wow.
I had it for 2 days. I was so close. Oh. Wow. It was incredible. It was just like, it was just the absolute best day maybe in my entire life. I don't consider myself a very lucky person. I don't win things terribly often, if ever. And it just, it was just really incredible. And it's so worth the hype. It's so, so good. I don't cry at movies, but I did cry at the end of that show. It was also just a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like I was walking around the office like before I went, because I won tickets to the matinee, and I was like, oh my God, I think I'm gonna throw up. Like, is this what winning feels like? I'm gonna faint or throw up.
You know what that was? That was your karma for the day that you had to miss Billy Joel so you could record a podcast.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. Well, if that's karma.
The universe came back around.
It was worth it.
That's amazing. I saw your pictures, but I didn't realize that you won them.
I won them. But yeah, it was awesome. It was, the cast was really good. I got to see Taron Killam. SNL alum is now in the role of King George. And he was fantastic. He's actually a really great singer. But I got to see Javier Munoz, who was Lin-Manuel's understudy and sort of helped him develop the character. And he now took over once Lin-Manuel Miranda left to go do all the other awesome, amazing things he's doing. And he was just phenomenal. And just, everybody was so good. And it was just an amazing, an amazing, an amazing day.
Yay!
And I still, And I just feel like, I just am a happy, happy, happy camper.
Aww. Yay. Awesome. I'm so happy for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was good stuff. But it's like, it's funny because it's like when you, so you go through, like you're in your own separate line when you win the lottery, and it really is like you are going into Willy Wonka. So it's like all the people are like, oh my God, congratulations, congratulations. Enjoy the show. It's like you're half expecting someone to like hand you a glass of champagne too.
Right. Yeah.
Like, congratulations.
Oh, that's awesome. I won the lottery for Rent back in the day. But that was when like everybody won the lottery by that point. Mm. It came really easy.
Who was in it? Was Anthony Rapp still in it?
No. Although Anthony Rapp did come back towards the end when it was closing, because so did Idina. So actually, they all came back at one point, didn't they?
Probably.
I've seen Adam Pascal. I don't think I've seen Anthony Rapp. You know, I recently came across, or my mom did, and sent it back with me. It's downstairs. I need to look through it. The box of all of the playbills of all the shows I've ever seen.
Oh, that's awesome. I was doing that for a while.
I almost threw it out because I didn't want to pack it in the car. But Jayla's like, you're going to want to keep these. And I need to go back because I was able to confirm that the Eponine that I had seen was Cary Butler that we talked about, and like some of the others. I was looking through it a little bit. So, I mean, I've seen so many shows. So, yeah. Anyway. Oh, hi.
So,
it's Mr. Shandy.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Shandy.
He is not working tonight, which is not usual. So, usually when we record, I'm just kind of at home by myself. So, he's around tonight, and I'm holed up in our guest room recording. All of a sudden I hear the door open. He drops off a beer.
Yay.
What a gentleman. Yes.
It's on the ground. I'm gonna have to get up and go get it. And how did he know I'm empty? It was perfect.
I mean, you're together that long, you just sync up. You just sync up.
Yeah, you get in sync. Kind of like when two girls get their periods at the same time.
That's exactly. But I was trying to get him to come and say hi, but anyway, he said he was going to take a shower. So maybe, he let Fiona in. I kept her out by design. Anyway, and here she goes. Now I'm going to battle with a kitty.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Boy.
Anyway,
at least she's light and, you know, yes, like a little cloud.
Okay, so now my husband is standing in the doorway, completely naked.
So I guess he doesn't want to say hello now.
No. Put the cat in front of you and come say hello. Yeah. All of the imagery and symbolism. Okay, no fair speaking other languages.
Hey.
I was just telling you what you said. I was just telling him what you said, and then he kind of laughed and then left. So I think that's a no. But anyway, the bathroom, like the shower, our shower is right next to the room that I'm in. So, nice. Hence the yeah. Anyway,
yeah. So we have a lot of visitors this episode.
Seriously.
All silent visitors, yeah. Though.
Yeah. Do we want?
I'm going to reach over and grab a beer.
All right. Okay. All right. So do we want to get to the meat and potatoes of this episode, which would be a lot of feedback and a lot of Valentine's Day stuff? Yep.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
You like us. You really like us.
Yay. Let's bang through the facey back.
Yes.
Let's just kick it a little.
The remix.
She's just laughing because I said bang through the face.
I mean, that is kind of the theme of this episode, right?
That is the theme. That's very true. Most of it just kind of pertains to the...
We're 30 now. We don't have time.
Yeah.
We don't have time.
Oh.
This is when our metabolism slows down. We drink more wine because we can handle it, but we stop early enough because we can't handle it the next morning.
Yeah, you gotta bang through it. Gotta get them Z's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so most of the facey back, just kind of pertains to the question I had asked last week of what was your earliest memories of big news events. Lindsay had said Princess Diana's death. Randy had said was JFK's assassination and watching his funeral with John saluting. Fallon said baby Jessica falling down the well. It was then that I realized that wells existed and not just in fairy tales.
I love that.
Did you know that for the longest time, I did not think that that was a real story. I must have been like 20 before I was like, wait, that really happened? Yeah, I swear to God. Dennis said watching the JFK funeral procession at 7 years old, sports would be watching the Yankees on TV with Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. And Greg said, I'm sure something could spark an earlier memory, but off the top of my head, the furthest I can go back to is the OJ Simpson chase / trial. I was already 8, which is why I think there must be something earlier, but that's what I've got. Well, like we said last week, our earliest ones were like at 11, so 8's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we had put out a call on the Facebooks and Twitters for anybody that wanted to contribute to, because Valentine's Day is coming up, and anybody that wanted to contribute any kind of Valentine's Day related or just love related feedback in general. I think that the idea originally came up because, Amanda, you had shared a story about a Boston Marathon bombing victim who married the first responder.
That might have been Shandy, but I had also come across that story, and it made my heart quite warm. So
yes. So I'm sorry, Shandy shared it then. And we were like also tickled by how love always seems to win in the end, that we decided let's kind of focus on love kind of things, which then evolved into essentially just, let's just talk about like good and bad dates. So yeah. I had put out the call though, and the naughty Catholic had said on Facebook, my hubs calls the beginning of the week with my birthday, February 8th, until Valentine's Day, the 7 days of Julie, and makes it a week-long celebration. Gotta love Mr. Naughty. Perhaps Jay should begin this tradition for Colleen. I like that tradition.
I like it.
Sounds good.
And I approve.
I think it
started today with your balloon.
Woohoo! Yep.
He's already off to a good start.
Yay! And then, okay, so, and this was awesome in the Facebook group. Darcy had posted some funny, like, you know, the little Valentine's cards that kind of like played off on the ones that you get when you're like in class with kids. It was all Harry Potter themed. So one of them has like a Harry Potter via maybe the third or fourth movie, maybe the second one, but it's one night with me and they'll be calling you Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, this was totally, that was 4, I think.
Okay.
Nerd alert.
The next one is, I think it's Ron playing Quidditch on the broom.
Yeah.
And it says, this broom isn't the only wood you'll be riding today. The next one is like sexy Hermione and it says, you'll be getting in my chamber of secrets tonight. The next one's my all-time favorite. It's a picture of Neville. It's Neville gonna give you up, Neville gonna let you down, Neville gonna run around and hurt you.
Oh my god, that's so good,
isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
I love that one so much. Another one is another sexy Hermione. It says, baby, you can swish and flick me any day. The next one is Draco Malfoy. It says, oh my god. I promise I won't tell my father about this. So wrong. Let's see, what else do we got? Another one is Dobby. I may be a free elf, but you can be my master anytime.
Oh. Although I also love that, like, the picture, it's like he just looks really perplexed. Yeah.
Dobby always
looks with a question mark.
He always looks
like
perplexed.
You can be my master anytime.
I wonder if I could read that in the Yoda voice. My master anytime you can be. You are a death eater. Oh, sorry. The next one is Bellatrix Lestrange, and it's, are you a death eater? Because Azkaban.
I feel like they could have done so much better with Death Eater.
Oh, I see.
I feel like that's mm-hmm. that's a missed opportunity.
Yep.
Another Neville one. I long for your bottom. And then then we go over to Snape one. Hagrid's not the only giant on campus. And there's a Dumbledore one. I Dumbledore you. That's cute. Yeah, that's... A Voldemort one. Everybody knows we're meant to be. Get it? Knows? Because he has none. another Dumbledore one. Be my Dumble whore.
No.
A Malfoy one. How about I slither in between your legs?
Okay, there we go.
And then another, would you like to slither into bed with me?
That's what I like it the first one better.
Yeah. So yeah. Those are awesome. Thank you, Darcy. Got a great laugh.
That's good.
Oh, good times. We had also put out the call for let's pose this question to us before we get into. We had put out the call for good and bad dating stories. Do you guys have any good or bad dating stories? Because my bad one involves me getting stood up on a trip to see a concert in Connecticut.
Oh, right. I vaguely remember that story.
Yeah. And I was supposed to, and I did. I met up with Brian, my friend who's coming to visit this upcoming weekend. Yeah, that was awesome. Douchebag. I'm sitting here waiting, like, to be picked up to go to this concert, and then just, oh, sorry, I overslept. Did not oversleep.
Overslept?
Tried to ghost me. Didn't work. Horrible. Yeah. Anyway, Shandy. Amanda.
I got nothing.
Amanda, I pick you.
Trying to think. I had one guy once. I was like trying to end the date and like just wouldn't catch the hint.
Ooh.
So it was just like, oh, I'm gonna go meet up with my friend. My friend's like, you know, a couple bars down. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like fun. Let's go. It's like, that's sort of meant just me, but sure. I had one guy sort of stand me up for a couple hours. And I was stupid and young and just waited. But like, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Just, you know, my friend got a divorce and like, they just need me right now. And I'm leaving soon. And, you know, when you're a 23-year-old girl, you're like, okay, yeah, you're just being a good friend. Oh my God, that's adorable. Fiona's like, yeah, I'm not into that story.
She's jamming out with me, Clem.
She really is. So Shandy has the pussycat on her lap, but she's faced out, like the cat sitting, you know, like people are sitting. Literally,
I'm trying to think of
jamming out with the clam out. So
I was going to take a picture, but now she's done.
Awesome.
Anyway, sorry, Amanda.
God,
nobody has like dating disasters they can think of.
No. I know I do, and
I know you really do too.
Here's one. Speaking of, as I take a sip, we did we did speed dating once.
Oh, yeah.
Julia, Allison, and myself.
Yes.
And it was one of those, like, and this is probably any speed dating that they get more girls than guys. So they were like pulling dudes off the street in the East Village of New York to like come participate.
Oh no.
And they like have all the girls like sit around the side and then the guys move.
Was it like the East Village crowd too? So most of them weren't there for the ladies?
Well, yeah, some were just kind of douchey, some were like bro-y, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a good mix of deplorables.
Fantastic.
And like, so they were sort of lining them up that sort of like, as there was a free space, you sort of sat down. And so our Colleen and my friend Julia is beautiful. Like, she's just a really beautiful girl. And the guy who was supposed to sit in front of me, like, walks up, takes one look at me, and then moves over and sits where Julia is.
Oh, fuck that, dude. You're just as beautiful as Julia. What an asshole.
Then it's like there was a skip. So I literally, this speed dating thing, I went through two whole rounds before I even spoke to a human being. So it's like I got skipped, and then there was a hole. Oh, the worst. I'm feeling really bad about myself. Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And then I had one guy. It was like Julia's night. Because then I had one guy at some point that was just asking me questions about her.
Oh, God.
he had just been to her. I was like, so about your friend? Oh, that's nice about you, but about your friend?
Oh, my God.
Does she like that thing, too? I was like, oh, God.
Do you
Why?
Do you want to slither in between her legs?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh, so there's a little bit. I'll see if I can remember any other ones.
Okay. I'm going to try to think of a good date. Maybe I'll think of a good date that I can end this sucker on as well. Shandy, you're not off the hook either.
I've been with my current partner for 14 years and I'm 32 years old. So you do the math.
I'm trying to think of a good date from
not a lot of dating.
I'm trying to think of a good date in general. Doesn't matter with who. You could think of a good date that Frog took you on.
Yeah, I mean that's also a good question. What was like the best date you can remember that you went on with your current partner?
Yeah.
I mean, we also don't really like go on dates, I guess.
Okay, well this just got depressing.
No, it's not depressing.
I know, like,
we hang out with friends and we have dinner parties, but like not like your traditional. Yeah, I don't know. Like I have to wonder if I think there is a cultural difference maybe, but also I don't know. I suppose like the two of us have gone to dinner before. Does that count as a date? I mean, that's just going like,
yeah, if you just, did something fun just and out eating. Of, but if you did something fun, like out of the norm.
Oh, we go to dinner all the time.
Well, but even like Daniel and I, my favorite date we went on was like our second date. We went to this Uzbekistan restaurant in the middle of Brighton Beach, Brooklyn.
Ooh.
Like just out of the norm. And it was just like really fun. And then we walked down the boardwalk of Brighton Beach into Coney Island. And he almost got run over by a little kid on a bike. And then we went down on the beach. And then we got a lemonade at Nathan's and went back to my neighborhood and went to a bar around the street from my apartment and then went back to my apartment. But like, that's all like, you know, like normal stuff you would do. But like, it was just the collection of them made them really fun and poignant.
We have everybody's, I guess, we have an email from everybody's favorite dating disaster storyteller, Jacob. And wrote this in, and it's Amanda's favorite email that we've ever gotten because.
Yes.
Not only did he share a dating disaster, but he actually color coordinates it and writes it out specifically for the broadcast players to perform. So,
and it's good. It's really good material. I think we're really going to sink our teeth into these characters.
Yeah. So before we start the intro, whoever, Shandy, are you going to be the narrator?
Sounds good.
Okay. Amanda, do you want to be Jacob or the girl?
I will let you pick this time because last time I said you could pick and then I changed my mind and picked. So it's your turn.
I honestly don't mind. Like you've read the whole thing. So if you have a preference, go for it.
I actually really don't.
Let's see.
Do I need to be the decider here?
Yeah, you be the decider, Shandy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go Colleen Jacob, Amanda girl.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
And so I'll read the purple, Amanda reads the orange, and Shandy, you read the black font.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Jacob writes in, hey, gals, happy Valentine's Day in advance. I have a story for the broadcast players. Paraphrase it out for you guys to read it in parts. Smiley face. This was a kind of date I went on in the first week of classes my sophomore year. This girl shared one class with me. I casually asked her to go grab some lunch between classes. We decided to go to Chipotle because she had never been there. After we received our food, I went about my attempts to be clever, funny, and charming. Instead, I accidentally bullshitted my way into a hole and turned her view of Mexican food upside down. Dot, dot, dot.
So what time's your next class?
Oh, I don't know. My mom schedules my classes for me. I'll have to text her.
Oh, okay, really? Well, what is the class? Maybe we both have it.
I think it's about telling the future or something.
What?
You know, it's like the opposite of taking a history course, I think. I haven't read the syllabus yet, but it's, check's phone, psychics.
Are you thinking of physics? Because I don't think that's a real thing. Physics is a science course.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Whoops. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound kind of ridiculous.
I want to take a moment to stop the performance and tell you that this was a real thing that happened. I was so caught off guard. I figured she had to be messing with me. No way she was that dim. So I decided to mess with her a bit. Thought it would be a fun game. Who was the best bullshitter?
OMG, these burritos are huge. I didn't know how big they were. They're like the size of a baby.
Oh, yeah, they sure are. Well, I suppose that's why they call them burritos after all.
What do you mean?
Oh, you don't know that story? Why they're called burritos? Well, you know how the Spanish word for baby is bebé? Well, a small baby is a bebito, and that's what they originally called these, bebitos.
Oh, really? I never knew that. But why did they change the name?
It's a very long, sad tale. The short of it was that in certain ancient Mayan cultures, they were cannibals. And it was customary to wrap little bebitos in a blanket of the finest flour tortillas, cook them, and eat them with sour cream and guacamole. Some tribes couldn't afford the extra guacamole, though.
That's horrible.
Yup. And when Americans started to sell them, they decided to change the name to burritos so that our fragile American hearts wouldn't be damaged by something so delicious.
Wow, that's so sad. Why has no one ever told me this before?
By this time, I was sure that she would have picked up on the fact that I was just being an asshole. I sat there and looked at her, waiting for her to realize that I'm joking, and she didn't. She believed it. I nervously changed the subject to that ate my lunch. I ended up dropping the class I shared with her and really never saw much of her after that. But in my heart, somewhere, I hope she is telling everyone about the brutal truth behind the burritos. And maybe one day I'll see her pop up in a YouTube conspiracy video. Or she realized I was lying. That's probably more likely. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Jacob.
You know what probably happened? She probably texted her mom after she left to ask her if that was true.
I know.
Either that or she's doing a podcast out of nowhere and she's like, just brings it up to her co-host. Hey, guys, you know what's actually funny? The story behind the word burritos.
So, okay.
Did you know where burritos came from?
When I read this email, the psychics / physics thing, I was like, okay, that's got to be real dumb. But this burritos thing, okay, minus like the extra stuff about the guacamole and stuff, I was like, damn, I could totally see myself doing that. Like, I kind of
falling for it or telling that story.
No, falling for it. I don't remember if I told it on this podcast or on the tribe or maybe just in one of the chats, but I've ever told you about how I thought my friend was attacked by a shark for like a good couple of years.
Yeah. What? Yes, you told
me. Like, I'm real gullible. Okay. So this is shortly after graduating from college. So I was probably like 22 or 23. And just moved back to Montana. And one of my friends had this like chevron, like V-shaped scar on his like tibia, essentially. And he told me that he was on vacation.
That means legs for Jacob stayed out there.
Okay. Yeah, the one on the bottom half of the leg.
Funny story about the tibia.
Like his shin, I suppose. It was on his shin. It was on the front of his
just
lower
the tibia.
Leg.
Sorry.
Just the tibia. So he told me, like, we were talking about it one day, like this like one summer day, we're out having drinks and I was like, holy shit, like what's that and what's that from? And he told me this story about how he went on vacation like over spring break or something to Northern California visiting a friend, and his friend taught him how to surf, and while he was out surfing he got attacked by a shark, but it wasn't like a big, like, you know, great white or anything, and like he was totally fine, but like he was bit by a shark. And I 100% believed him. And it was literally, and like, just like this girl with the burritos, like I did, like I told all my friends, like, oh my God, you guys, one of my friends got attacked by a shark. Isn't that amazing? And he's totally fine. And like, he just has this crazy scar. You can see where the teeth were and everything. And this went on for a good couple of years until finally, I think, I can't remember how it came about, but I was like telling somebody and they're like, no, that's not true. And I was like, no, for real. And then talked to him and he was like, dude, no, that's not true. I was totally like just giving you shit. So for years, I believed that. What really happened was he was at the testicle festival, which is a thing. The testicle festival is a festival that happens about 20 minutes from where I'm from in Montana, where a bunch of people get together and, you know, get really shit-faced and eat what we like to call Rocky Mountain oysters, which are, you know, like
Will,
bull testicles.
Will, if you're listening, go to there and report back.
I feel like the testicle festival, I grew up next to the testicle festival. I've never been. There's all these stories about, like, it sounds like very...
It sounds like something that would be in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
It sounds like, for me, it always sounded like there's probably like a bunch of people that get women like, you know, like roofie them and rape them. And like, they're always like, you know, there's like rumors of like donkey shows, which don't happen.
I'm going to take you up behind the bleachers and get you pregnant.
Sorry. Yeah, but I'm going to roofie you first so you won't know about it. I should go sometime and maybe it's not as bad as it all sounds. But anyway, he was at the testicle festival and he was really hammered because that's what you do at the testicle festival. And he did a backflip off of like a picnic table and caught his leg like on the way back down and had to actually go to the hospital and stuff. Ooh, but definitely did not get attacked by a shark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, this poor burrito girl, she probably really did believe it for a couple of years, and I identify with you. If you're
listening, she literally might still believe it.
Yeah.
She literally might, because I, to this day, if my friend had not finally told me the truth, I would be telling you guys about how my friend got attacked by a shark.
It's so amazing.
Oh, God.
I know I've had
it. Now I have armed everyone.
Yes. Well, Tim loves to...
With the knowledge of my...
Tim loves to bullshit you in the tribe chat.
I know, but the thing with Tim now, well, now I just don't believe anything he says. He's too easy. Like, you have to be a little bit more subtle about it. Yeah. You have to throw in believable truth with believable bullshit.
Yeah, because getting bit by a shark is completely believable.
By someone who lives in Montana.
He went to California. I think he actually did go to California. There are nuggets of truth in that story. That's how you make a good lie. Fair. And exactly. He does have friends in Northern California. So, plausible. But no, yeah, never happened.
We have, speaking of bad date stories, we have a call from JP from NJ. So let's hit that up and see how many asses he branded this time.
Hey, ladies, it is JP from New Jersey, a.k.a. the butt burner. I just wanted to call and wish you all a very, very happy Valentine's Day, not Thanksgiving. Happy Valentine's Day, ladies. I have a bad date story followed by a good date story. My bad date story is over the summer, I went on a third date with somebody I had met on Plenty of Fish. We decided to go to a comedy club. Long story short, she became so intoxicated, she was the girl at the comedy club who basically thought the entire show was about her. So after we were asked to leave, I had to now drive her home because we drove there together.
And she was shit-faced.
It was just an incredible ride home where at one point she became extremely physically abusive. And Jesus. I had to almost pull over and call the police on her. That's how bad it was. My good date story is back
toast.
In September, meeting Sherry, who I'm presently dating. And every date since our first date has been a great date. She's a wonderful girl, and I'm so happy to be spending Valentine's Day with her and her burned ass. Anyway, ladies, again, happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for everything you guys do. I love the show.
Oh, my God. Aww. That was so cute.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I love that. I'm sorry that we were talking over at JP. We're a little hyper tonight.
We were just really engaged in the story.
Yes. Super engaged. Oh, good times. No, that reminds me of the date with Leslie Mann's character in the 40-year-old Virgin.
Oh, right.
She gets, she wants the French toast and pukes all over the car. We had another call. This one is from Brian, who will be landing at my house about 8 hours after this post. Landing at my house. He'll be landing in Raleigh. I'm very excited. Brian was my best friend growing up, so I'm super excited.
He's coming here by drone. Aww. Drop him on the front doorstep, just like an Amazon package.
Yeah. I'm excited. I might be moving houses this weekend. So I was like, I hope you don't mind a blow-up mattress when we previously had like a nice memory foam pull-out couch mattress, but whatever.
Well, no, wait, so did you guys close?
No, we're closing Friday now.
Wow, but it's really happening.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
It's exciting.
Yay.
I can barely buy a pillow. Forget a whole house. This is exciting.
Funny enough. Okay, I'm going to do that date thing again. So February 10th would be the day that we close on the house, and that would be the 7-year anniversary of when Jay and I got engaged. Aww.
Wow. I didn't realize you guys got engaged so close to your birthday.
We did. We were – well, he was not home. He was at school still. On my birthday that year, it was on a Monday. And then on the Tuesday, or maybe my birthday was a Tuesday, whatever. The next day, February 9th. Whatever. He wanted to do it on February 9th because we met on April 29th and we started dating on July 29th. So he wanted to do like 2-9, like cutesy thing. But Lost,
that is really cute.
But Lost was on and he had to go do Lost. The Lost God podcast. Yeah, so because it was the final season of Lost. So he had the Lost podcast. So he had to do it on February 10th, which was the day that we were able to celebrate my birthday / Valentine's Day, because the 11th I left for London to go visit my sister. So anyway, February 10th, 2010 is the day we got engaged. So it would be kind of fun if we do close on Thursday for some reason. It'll be cool because then we'll have that 2-9 date kind of thing. If we close on the 10th, then it'll just be kind of like a fun little like, hey, like we got engaged 7 years ago. Now we're getting a house 7 years later. But whatever. Anyway, Brian will be landing on this house soon. And let's get to a voicemail from him.
Hey, everybody. This is Brian, formerly of Married Man, temporary host. Non-fame. I'm going to tell a story about the best date I was ever on. And it's a little long-winded. It is me. But it's not my wife, unfortunately. But it's still a really good story. It was, I think, Valentine's Day 2004. Now, the woman I've been crushing on pretty hard, and we had a pretty good friend relationship. It never really went anywhere. But I asked her if she'd want to go on a Valentine's Day. She said yes. And I planned this kind of adventure. Now, we're in Hartford, Connecticut. So 2 o'clock, we went to a old-style movie house on the campus of Trinity College called Cine Studio. Every Valentine's Day, they play Casablanca at 2 and 7 p.m. So we did the 2 o'clock show. Nice. And she'd never seen it before. I thought it was pretty cool. When the movie's over, we get in the car, 4 o'clock or so, and start heading down south to Manhattan. And as we're driving there, and Colleen can attest to this, there's a song I wrote many years ago that has a lyric in it called You Sail Into a Pink Love Sky. And that's what happened. This moment inspired that lyric, because as we're driving, there's dreary gray behind us towards Hartford, but there's just this amazing pink sky that we're driving into as we head to New York. And it was just perfect. We get there. And the plan was we had two more things in the docket. Going to a restaurant, which is still in business, called Cube 63, a sushi joint that had just opened at the time. I was reading a lot of New York Magazine, and it seemed like a good idea. So we went there for a reservation at 7 or 7:30, something like that. Had a great dinner, and then I had tickets for a show called Matt and Ben. And this is the beginning of Mindy Kaling. I didn't know who she was at the time, but she and her writing partner had written this play about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, who literally get the script from Good Will Hunting from the sky. It falls into their laps, and they don't know what to do with it and how to pass it off as their own. And Mindy Kaling played Affleck in this play, and it was a lot of fun. But on the way over to the play, you know, it's kind of a windy night, and it's dark, and, you know, it was a wonderful kiss on the corner in New York. It was just a magical moment. But after we're walking to the play, we noticed the Landmark Sunshine Cinemas, which is a thing called Sunshine at Midnight, where they play cult classics and or just straight up classics at 12 a.m. was doing Pulp Fiction. I found out that Kate had never seen Pulp Fiction. I never seen it on the big screen. So after we get done with this one-hour, one-act play, we head back to Landmark and go do a midnight movie. And got done, you know, 2:30 a.m. and headed back to Hartford, Connecticut, and got there for about 5. And nobody got laid. It wasn't a sexual or crazy night that way. It was just an adventure with one of my best friends now to this day. So super happy that it happened. It resonates over a decade later, and that was the best date I've ever been on. But I love my wife, and I'm super happy that I'm with her. So there's that, too. Oh, God. Please don't play this. Bye.
Aw, that's sweet. I know the song that's the lyric from, but I didn't know that I was inspired by that. So, right. Yeah. Very cool.
Is someone snow plowing?
I also heard that.
Did I hear that, like...
See, my husband actually just got into the shower for real.
Your shower sounds like a mechanical, yeah.
It's really loud. These walls are very thin. So sorry.
That's all right. Like, if you leave the room and the walls start a knocking, we'll know why. The walls start a rocking. Sorry. Or knocking.
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean. We'll hear it, is what I'm saying. So we had a whole bunch also more feedback. I think we're going to start the feedback and end the feedback with phone call. So we're going to bookend it.
Yes.
All right. So this first call, this next call is from some dude that's bitching about something. So Let's, I guess, get to this.
Hello, ladies. I have a question. What do you do when your significant other recently got into this weird Amway-esque clothing fad that is kind of silly expensive, and then also the clothes in it are like really ugly. But I don't know how to tell my significant other that it's really ugly and there's better looking clothes out there that she could buy. So I'm just asking your advice, like, what should I do if my significant other is getting into a line of clothes that, let's just say 10 years from now, this person will look back and go like, oh my God, I wore that. So I'd like some advice on what I can do to help steer her in the right direction. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay. To be fair, anything that you're wearing today, 10 years from now, you'll be like, oh my God, I was wearing that.
Well, that's actually not true, considering last week I did confess that I'm still wearing clothes from high school.
It's true. There are certain things that are timeless.
But that to be said, okay. So Jay's talking about the LuLaRoe stuff. And I will, like, this shirt is one of them, right? It's a very plain t-shirt. You can get the same t-shirt from Target, right, for $9 right now. Well, I'm embarrassed to say that this shirt costs $35.
What? Why?
Oh.
Why?
I was part of an outfit.
Are there like some gold thread in there that we can't see?
They're just comfortable and they're like, you know, they kind of fit well. And I don't know. I mean, I like leggings and leggings in general. I can't say, I try to say, because I say leggings and I know that's wrong. So yes. I have put a kibosh on the spending. But because, all right, I got invited by all these people that I know that are like selling it. And I kind of felt, I was like, oh my God, this is what our parents felt like when they were invited to Tupperware parties back in the day. Except Tupperware doesn't. I mean, they have some stuff. Like I went like played it safe with the shirt because again, Target has a sale right now, guys. t-shirts, two for like $16 or something. So you could essentially get four t-shirts from Target that are similar cut for the same price.
But is the quality is the quality better? Because I mean, that's a legitimate question. If the quality is that much better and it's going to last you that much longer, then it's worth it.
Yeah,
but that's true. If it's the same quality as Target, then it's not worth it. So I guess
I don't know. I'm actually going to go
to wash it. How good the quality is,
right? And I've only worn
it in the washer.
This is only the second time I've worn it. Both times have been sitting around the house at night, so I haven't washed it yet. And I'm actually going to go to Target tomorrow and buy some t-shirts like this, so it satisfies my need for apparently t-shirts. I didn't know that was a thing that I had. So yeah, that's what would you tell this caller, because he wants some serious advice?
I would just say, make sure you compliment her when she's wearing an outfit that you do like.
Yes, that's great advice. That is great advice.
And just, yeah, don't say anything about the other stuff. Eventually, it like gets in your head that like you tend to feel more confident and you tend to feel better in something that you know you get a lot of compliments on when you wear it. So, yeah.
That's
positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement, yeah.
That's some great advice. So what you're saying is every time she comes downstairs in leggings that you don't like, don't go like...
Exactly.
What are you wearing? This is like your 90s shoulder pads outfit. You're going to one day be like, why did I wear those?
You could, but I don't think that's going to get the result you want as quickly.
No.
Because then that tends to be the like, fuck you, this is comfortable.
Well, I had to.
Also, leggings. I mean, leggings make the ass look great. Like, what's not to like about leggings?
I don't know if you saw the picture that I posted in the Facebook in the patrons group. I love me some leggings, but like, they have bright flowers all over them. They're not like
your leggings. Yoga pants make your butt look good. Leggings don't have the same like support.
Because a lot of them are like one size.
That is true, man. I went to yoga. I've been a couple of times now, and it is, like, really fucking distracting. Everyone should go to yoga and then get some great yoga clothes.
You should totally go to yoga, Shandy.
Exactly. Totally went to yoga.
Anyway, moving on. We have another email. Take it away, Shandy, I guess.
All right. So I mentioned that I was going to save part of my weekend for this next part, and this email gets into it. It's from Joanne, who I got to meet on Friday. No big deal.
Yeah, so I'm so jealous.
Mm-hmm. Jay and Jack Network, bringing people together. So Joanne says, first, thanks again to Shandy for meeting and chatting. I hope we find another time and place to do so. It was such a pleasure, Joanne, and we definitely should meet up again. She says, and for Amanda and Colleen, love to get a chance to meet you sometime.
Absolutely.
You all are just a great trio that I'm so happy to know and enjoy. I will say that I find myself more in the Amanda Colleen side of the pro-life feminist question. I do think that one problem with most pro-lifers is if they are pro-life consistently, not just whether abortion is ever right, but what about life after birth? What about support for the woman who has to make a difficult choice that may not fit your belief system? What about providing all the forms of support from a group like Planned Parenthood? What about support for the child living in poverty? That one always gets me, that a group can have both an anti-abortion and a pro-death penalty viewpoint. Bottom line, this is a difficult issue, and because the two extreme sides come from totally different starting arguments, there will never be agreement. Ultimately, allowing each person a choice as to what they believe is to me the right way to go, which makes me a pro. Let's accept there is no easy answer, so don't force one on me. I would say that's the pro-choice side, but that's me. But enough seriousness, as we hit Valentine's Day, I can tell you that I do not always get things right. There are many in my program who will never forget Valentine's Day for our annual meeting. I did not even think about the date, but boy, did I hear about it from all of the lovebirds out there. Never again did I make such a terrible mistake, Joanne. So yeah.
Well, was the annual meeting in some place cool? Because then they could just bring their date,
right?
On.
Like a bouncy house.
Yeah.
Like a bouncy house.
I'll bounce your house.
No, but
still trying to make that happen.
I mentioned that I ran that race on Saturday, but I had made plans to meet up with Joanne on Friday because she was in the area for work. And so it was really cool. It's like still very like new and sort of weird to me to meet somebody that you know through podcasting.
Not me. It's my favorite way to meet people.
I'm still new to this, but the more it happens, like the more like normal I feel about it. And so, no, it was really cool to meet her. We like went to happy hour and we had dinner. I like couldn't stay out too late because I had to behave myself because I had the race in the morning. But it was very, very cool to meet her, and just crazy to think that she listens to our podcast and she lives in DC. But I believe she lives in DC. Anyway, she went to the DC March. Let's say
on she's in the DC area.
Yeah,
she's in the DC area, right? And it's just crazy. And then I got to meet her because she happened to be in this area, and it was just nuts. It was crazy. It was cool. We did not get a picture, which I thought later. So that we need to rectify that. But if anyone else comes to California, like hit me up. Apparently, I'm totally into meeting strangers.
Woohoo!
It's cool.
Yay!
Woohoo! Oh,
that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of meeting up with podcast friends, I believe right now it's almost set in stone, the date for the marathon charity podcast this year, whether or not we do a marathon podcast, because last year's was so nice, you don't have to worry about that. It's likely going to be the weekend of April 7th, I think. Let me check for sure. Yeah, so April 7th, 8th, and 9th. The Outside Dark Horse weekend is the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. So mark your calendars, and I hope that everybody can attend because it's super fun. Amanda, I hope that at the very least you're there. I know, Shandy, you bitched out. They like throwing you under the bus.
Like, if somebody can, like, pay for my plane ticket and maybe contribute a little to my taxes, you know, that I
come
have,
on, patrons.
Have to be paying right then
patrons,
we can make it a
patron
level. We can make it a patron level. Knock, like, you know, even just knocking the price down a little bit.
All right. Yeah. So, back to the emails.
Okay. The next email is from Fallon. Hello, ladies. International Women's Day is next month on March 8th, and I've decided to start a tradition for myself to donate to a few charities every year on this date that support women in some way. That is so cool. Currently, I am thinking that for women's health, I can donate to Planned Parenthood, and for women's equality, I can donate to the Pledge for Parity? Help, guys?
Yeah, yes. Parody.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dyslexia. Phonics are hard.
That's all right. Try the sentence again. You got it.
Thanks, Mom. Currently, I'm thinking for women's health, I can donate to Planned Parenthood. And for women's equality, I can donate to the Pledge for Parity campaign. I'm thinking I need a third choice, and I wanted to know if you or the listeners had another charity or organization that you donate to or support. Thanks, Fallon. I think that is the coolest idea, and I really love it, and I just might steal it and make a few donations myself. I do a monthly donation to Planned Parenthood. I think ACLU is also a good one, while not female-specific. They support people, and women are people.
Mm-hmm. And we saw how much the women fucking rocked it.
Indeed.
When it comes to lawyering and shit.
Yes. Yeah. I think the other thing that I'd sort of on my mind, just because it was brought up at the panel discussion that I went to yesterday, is that while donating to national charities is great, it's also important to think about the local groups in your community that are really doing the on-the-ground work, but that perhaps don't get the attention that, say, an ACLU or Planned Parenthood gets, which is honestly something I had never thought about, but now is something I'm actively looking to do for myself. So I would offer that up to other people as well.
Yeah, I donate every year to a charity in Raleigh. It's called Interactive Raleigh, and they have a bunch of programs that are aimed for women and children, And awesome. Yeah, they do a lot of work, and you know, they always need donations. So I send in something every year at the end of the year, because that's when they send me the little thing being like, please pledge. So yeah.
Make your year-end tax-deductible donation before midnight, right. December 31st.
And I did.
No, I work in public television.
I also, speaking of just supporting people, I get calls from the Red Cross every day because there's such a shortage. So if you can donate, I know that it's, again, not specific of what Fallon is looking for. But if anybody out there, I mean, I just got a like card, a full-on like nicely addressed card in the mail from them with like directions to local Red Cross donation centers in my zip code, because that's how desperate they are. I get calls literally daily. So if anybody is looking for like just a people's thing, I would suggest doing that. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones.
Or even a women's shelter, if there's, you know, a battered women's shelter in your area.
They always need help.
Yeah, not even necessarily money, but maybe like materials, clothes, like makeup, clothes, a gift basket of toiletries and stuff. My friend used to work at a battered women's shelter in Brooklyn, and she was always like, yeah, like we keep kits of toiletries for when women first come in. So it's like even things of like shampoo and soap and toothbrushes, like that's all stuff that they would gladly take as well.
Yeah, and I know that what is it called? I just completely, the name flew out of my head. If you had anything, Shandy, let me try to think of it. Oh, legal aid. If you have a legal aid in your city, they're always going to need money too. So that's another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, find out what your local rape crisis center is.
Yeah.
And like the YWCA would be similar to like, you know, women's shelters and stuff. Also, NARL Pro-Choice America.
Nice.
On the national level. If you are of the pro-choice mindset and worldview. But yeah, definitely a lot of options.
Sweet. All good question.
All right. So we are rolling right along with serious topics. And this next email comes from Kate. Hi, first off, I want to say how much I love your podcast. All of them have been so funny, but with just the right mix of serious topics as well. It feels like listening to old friends. Secondly, this is very late coming, but I wanted to thank Colleen so much for sharing her story about her recent miscarriage. I also had a recent loss, and it really helped me feel less alone. I also really appreciate your sharing another listener's feedback about the stigma attached to talking about miscarriage. Not only did I miscarry, but it was after 2 years of infertility and 1.5 of dealing with infertility treatments. With the stigma attached to both miscarriage and infertility, it can be such a lonely path to be on. I really wish that infertility could be recognized for what it is: emotionally draining, financially draining, physically painful, and just plain heartbreaking. I finally thought that my struggles were over when I found out in early November that my second IVF treatment had worked and I was pregnant. 2 days after Thanksgiving, at 7 weeks, I went in for an ultrasound and found out there was no fetal pulse or heartbeat, and that this baby would never actually ever become a real baby. The next week I had a D&C, and I've honestly never felt so sad in my entire life. So now, as we are in our third year of trying to have a baby, it's back subjecting to my body to oral drugs and injections, spending more money, and generally just feeling like this may never work for us. Thank you again, and for bringing more attention to this, since it doesn't nearly get the attention it deserves, and I hope that your being open and honest about your feelings will help someone else find more peace and kinship in their struggles, as it did for me. Kate. I'm so sorry for your loss, Kate, and I haven't struggled with infertility, but I do understand a little bit of the struggle, having watched friends go through it. I have a good friend, went to college with her, and, you know, she lives down in here in Raleigh now. She had been doing the oral drugs since probably right after I got married. So it was several years. I did not have any luck with that. Then, you know, started to do the injections, got pregnant, told everybody at 8 weeks, or told her parents and her family, everybody at 8 weeks on Mother's Day, and then went in for an ultrasound on the Tuesday after Mother's Day and found out, you know, there was no heartbeat. It was a miscarriage. And then, you know, she had a you know, a horrible time to, she did the drugs to force the body to miscarry and it didn't work. she passed most of it, but there were still some cells left and she had to end up going in for the DNC to get the rest of the material, whatever was left. Like my heart broke for her then. And then it took her another, she maxed out of her insurance. She started doing everything out of pocket because, you know, her insurance plan, she had to eventually try to get on her husband's to get the IVF, but because she ended up doing IVF. But with her plan, she had reached her lifetime maximum from all the drugs and whatnot. So she was actually paying out of pocket, and it was very, very costly. Fortunately for her, it took, and she has twins now. But I know that that was like, I watched that struggle. We used to go for walks every week and dinner. So I watched that struggle firsthand. And actually, my boss went through something similar. It took her like 8 years to get pregnant, and she ended up doing it through IVF. And she actually meets with young women sometimes that whether they're her friends or just women that her friends know, she offers to meet them for lunch and she gives them like tips and advice on how to ways to make the IVF process better, like the injections or whatever, because she went through them, you know. And I think she has three kids. She has a daughter and two twins, and she's very open about it. Her struggle. And with the twins, they were literally the last two viable eggs that she had left, the last two ones. And, you know, it was kind of, they didn't know if they were going to take or not. And both of them ended up, you know, taking. So, you know, she was fortunate too. And there's a lot of people. So it is something that everybody always feels alone, but there's always somebody out there that you can talk to. But again, at the end of the day, you know, it's so personal that I understand, like, you feel like, you know, how you feel, like, hopeless. So I'm so sorry. I really, like, this sounds stupid, but, like, I want to say a prayer for you that, like, this works out, like, for you. Like, we're really pulling for you. And thank you for sharing your story. And if there's anybody else out there struggling, you know, with the same thing and want to piggyback on Kate's email, we'd love to hear that too.
Well said.
Man, I talk a lot.
No. I mean, you're the, out of us three, it's touched you the closest. So of course you would have things to say on the topic, and you said it beautifully.
Yeah.
So, and I'm glad that we were able to give you some peace and kinship. We have another email. this one is from Jared. Dear ASC, first I want to say that I love the show and I think it's really important for guys to listen to it because we hear things on this show that we don't normally from a lot of girls in our real life. Yes, a lot of girls in your real life probably don't talk about abortion and miscarriage in one episode
and squatty
back to
bodies.
Back. And squatty bodies. we run the gamut. I want to ask you about... I want to ask your thoughts about the differences in how men and women look at sex. You three seem very sex positive, but this seems to be different from how most women I know feel. You've talked about how men and women aren't actually very different, but I don't totally agree. You know that men think about sex all the time, but also men look at it as a reward, where it seems like women don't. You three seem like you enjoy sex way more than most women I know. Pretty much every girl I know has talked about how they wouldn't have sex with a boyfriend until they earned it or worked for it, which seems the opposite to what the three of you talk about when you say women like it as much as men. I think a lot of times sex is a reward for men because that's how women present it to us. We get it as a reward once we, quote, earn it, unquote. I feel like this doesn't help people to agree with your concept that men and women look at sex the same. But even more than that, I don't think that they do. I think you three are exceptions to the rule. If they did, you wouldn't have so many women who know their guys want to have sex but purposely refuse to do it because, in their words, they haven't earned it. Even Colleen's story about going down on her husband, listen to how you all phrased it, you were doing a favor. A favor isn't something people normally want to do, you're just doing it for someone else. I was wondering what your thoughts were about this. If girls like sex as much as guys, why do so many make them earn it? Have the three of you ever had that attitude? And how long were you with your current husband or boyfriend before the two of you did anything sexual? Now, as a guy, I'd like to believe that women can view sex as enthusiastically as we do, but my experience so far has shown that really isn't the case. Keep up the great show.
I know a lot of women. I have a lot of female friends and have over the years. And I have literally never heard any woman say any of these things, ever, ever. And all of the women that I know enjoy sex as much as women. I have a lot of guy friends too. I really like guy friends. I've also literally never heard any of them, except for maybe one, say anything about having to quote unquote earn it. I think I have a bit of a problem with the sentence. I think a lot of times sex is a reward for men because that's how women present it to us. I think, like, respectfully, I think that's bullshit. And I also think that's blamey. And I think that maybe just you think that it's something you have to earn. So I would like you to maybe think about the possibility that the rest of the world doesn't see this the way that you do.
Okay, I have two things. One, I would love to know the age of the person that wrote this in, because it sounds like this person is still kind of on the early end of the dating spectrum, so to speak, as in not the almost cougar age that I am going to be tomorrow. Or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. That kind of sounds like very an immature view of sex, not one that's long-term commit. Or I mean, I don't know. I feel like, Amanda, when we were in college, a lot of people were like hooking up in bars at the, I don't know, because men and women, because they wanted absolutely. It, not because they wanted their dude to earn it. I guess maybe a free drink is earning it or something, but like, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, and two, it also sounds like maybe the women that you're speaking to are not in very good relationships.
Seriously.
Like, if they think that their man hasn't like done something to earn it, like it kind of feels like you're not really in a mutually
exactly mutual
general, like that facial relationship. Like, yeah, I get it. There are times when you're like you're tired or you're, you know, pissy or whatever, because like everybody goes through those basic human emotions, and that might be a time where you're like, you know something, you didn't put your fucking dish in the dishwasher, so you're not getting some of this tonight. That's the
just
only time
where, mood.
Yeah, like that's kind of like the only time that I would ever like think like something like that, because I'm tired, I'm cranky, I'm pissy for whatever reason, and you know, it's like, nope, sorry, you're bugging me. So you didn't earn this. Yeah. That's the only time I could ever think of like using a, you know, coming close to using a phrase like that.
And I've literally never connected those two things. Like, I'm upset because you didn't clean the litter box or whatever. I mean, let's be real. My husband cleans the litter box more than I do. But, and nobody's telling him that I just admitted that. But like connecting that, like, you didn't do this, so I'm not going to have sex. Like, for me, that's like separate. And like, if you're mad at someone, then maybe, yeah, you don't actually want to be physical with them. But also, I was thinking of the whole thing about the favor. Like, yeah, like you do favors. Okay, go, Amanda, go.
It's word choice. It's the language. So yeah, favor I take issue with, because I'm sorry. Like,
I'm pretty sure we were like
to do favors for people because it makes me feel good to make people I care about feel good.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't think this whole like people don't like to do favors. Right. Like that just sounds like a really selfish.
Yeah. And process. Like, you know, I'll do you a favor someday, and not that I'm doing it for, you know, like to get it back in return, but like that is kind of how it works. Like,
maybe tomorrow is my birthday.
Like, right. Maybe in a couple days you're not actually really going to feel like going down on me that much, but we do each other favors, so it's time, you know, to do that.
Well, yeah, how do you know that I always take issue with like favor? Because it's like, sometimes it is the idea that you will essentially get something back in return, but like it's like sex shouldn't be currency, and I think most healthy relationships
currency. There you go. That's currency. Right. It's not currency. And we're not even talking about, you know, when you have your period and don't want to have sex and you're like, yeah, sure, I'll jerk you off. Yeah. That's fine.
You don't want to have sex when you're on your period. You're not.
No,
like,
we've been through this.
On your period.
We've been through this, Shandy. I edited this out 2 weeks ago. We're not going back there.
Well, and the same thing with like earning it. Like, I don't like that language either.
No. Yeah, that's because very. Very monetary.
I feel like saying. A, you have shitty female friends who are entitled prisses, or B, they're just not in good, healthy relationships.
No.
Well, and it's like, and I think, you know, it's like, yeah, you don't necessarily have jump right into bed with someone right away because you want to get to know them or you want to hit certain benchmarks.
It's not about, awesome.
It's not about earning it. It's about getting to a level of you're both feeling comfortable and ready to do it or wanting to take that next step. I think earning, like, it's a very, it's a commodity. It makes it a commodity, and sex shouldn't be a commodity.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's...
It's not an ox that you trade at market.
Right.
Yeah. And again, you know, maybe they just need to reevaluate from a perspective on things. All right. Speaking of perspective, this last email, we're going to close it out on email and then a phone call. And
yes.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Okay. This is an email from Kim. And she says, happy early V-Day, ladies. I hope this makes it in time for your next episode. It did. I'm so behind on podcasts right now, and I'm working feverishly to catch up.
Yay.
I just got to your episode.
Girl, you and me both.
Yes. Yes. I just got to your episode where the gentleman wrote in about advice for what to do when his current girlfriend found a sex tape he made with his ex. I thought all your advice was really good and don't have too much to add, but there was one thing about the conversation I did find a little surprising, and I thought I might have something to say about it. I was really surprised to hear that none of you three have ever made any kind of naughty video with or for your partners. Well, you should. Let me explain why. I believe I'm about the same age as you three and have been married to my husband for a little over a year. As I think most couples do, we each had a list of fantasies that we wanted to try with each other at some point, and making some kind of video was always high on his. So after we got married, I agreed to do it. I was hesitant at first, but eventually he won me over. It turned out to be a great decision. Not only is it fun to plan what you're going to do to each other in it, it's obviously fun to shoot, but it's even more fun having it after the fact. It's this super sexy secret that just the two of you know about. It's like having a hidden treasure chest. Every time friends come over to your place, you both know that somewhere close by, there's a movie of the two of you going wild on each other. It's a huge turn on and one that never goes away. You feel dangerous, like you're both secret spies on or something. Ha ha. Now, let me also say that I agree with what you said about not uploading it to the cloud. There's just too much risk nowadays, and I would also add that I would not recommend doing this with someone you're not married to. But if you are married, I recommend it to every couple, especially if you're newlyweds.
Hmm.
Not to age shame, I think you should, no matter your age, but I do think there's something to doing it the younger you are. That way you can get the enjoyment out of it even longer, but also you should do it when you both feel you're most confident in how your bodies look.
And then when you're, actually, you know, 40 years later, you're like, I used to be able to move like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reminding me of one of the videos that I saw at Hump that was probably one of the best, that was older people, which is really cool. Mm. So yeah, there really is no age. Anyway, this might actually encourage you when you're both a little older to get back in shape if you feel you've lost a little
bit. You've let yourself go.
You'll have this great visual of an awesome time in your life. In short, sex tapes are awesome. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. especially for all the women listening out there who might have a man pressuring them to do it. Don't do anything you truly wouldn't want to, but take it from me, it can be something both you and he can enjoy in tons of ways. And don't forget, if you really hate it afterwards, you can always just hit delete. I'd love to hear if my words have made you three ladies reconsider your stance on this. After listening to this podcast from episode one, I feel confident in saying I think all three of you would be glad you did it. Take a little chance and hit record with your hubby or surprise him with a video of your own. Mm. And what better day than on Valentine's Day? Trust me, you won't be sorry. I'm with hers, Kim.
Huh.
So, yes.
I for the longest time, I've wanted to do those, like, you know, sexy pinup boudoir kind of pictures that they offer on Groupon. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
But I clearly have never gotten my shit together to do that. Sorry. I cannot speak about making a sex tape if you are in this room.
Like, who is she talking to? Is it Zachary or is it Jay? I'm not really sure.
Or Zoe.
Zoe.
If the pussy's in the room, she can't talk about
it. Just can't talk about it. Too many pussies in the room can't talk about it.
I feel like if I did this, though, I would have to wait until after I had another baby and was nursing. So I'm A, super skinny, and B, have huge boobs.
Okay, you do you, girl. You do you.
Although that one probably wouldn't happen the second time, but that's what happened the first time. I don't know. I kind of like the attitude, because I never thought of it. I was like, well, if you don't like it, you can just delete it. Duh. I never thought about that. It's like, that's going to be there for all time.
Exactly.
It's She's like no dumbasses. You can delete it.
I love the argument, and I love the time that Kim took. I love the fact that Kim took the time to write in and tell us all the pros about sex tapes.
Yes.
And I say everyone should go for it if they want to. I think for me, I'm just like, I just have, you know, like, video gives me pause, and I think it's awesome if you do it. But I think that one thing also that she was talking about in the email is something that's maybe important that you can sort of apply to a lot of different things and not just the sex tapes, is like having like some sort of naughty secret that, like, you know, like,
yeah.
And that can be like, you can do that in many different ways.
Hey, Shandy.
Yes.
Did you hear about that time that this couple was making a sex tape on the beach and they got bit by a shark?
Fuck you, Colleen.
It just nipped at their toes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they're fine. They didn't get to finish, but they lost their big toes.
Really, who needs those?
Yeah, and you thought sand was the biggest problem about having sex on a beach. I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
Yeah. You make a good point.
She makes some good points. I'll think about it. It's like a nice little private documentation of remember where we were.
Yes.
So.
Though I don't think I'm comfortable enough with my body right now. I'd be like, oh, God. Oh, my butt's that big. Oh.
I think that that's probably what holds a lot of people back.
Yeah.
Although filters nowadays. For me, it's just
that it could get, filters are great, yeah.
I don't know. The spare tire is a little too spare right now.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I'm a fan of...
But I feel like when you use a filter, it's like the alternative facts version of your body.
Well, exactly. I don't want that.
Your face. Sorry, Shandy. What are you saying?
I was going to say I'm a fan of the semi-nude but not nude Snapchats occasionally.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, when you Snapchat in the shower?
But those go away.
All right. Yep.
Okay.
All right, so we'll think about it, and we'll get in shape and get back to you. We have one more voicemail, and then I think we're going to close this sucker out. Every week, we're like, we're going to do this show in like an hour, and every week we kind of get close to 2 hours, and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to edit.
One of these weeks, we'll get there. Same week, we'll get to the health benefits of alcohol, I think.
Woo!
Hi, ladies. John Norton calling. Colleen put out that you guys, this episode, were looking for some of your best and worst dates. And I have one. It might be a little bit different than sort of what you were meaning, though. One of my favorite dates is actually February 8th, which as of right now, that's tomorrow. And
national holiday.
That date is special because it is Colleen's birthday.
Yay!
And it's one of my favorite dates because if that date never existed, then I would have missed out on having a really great friend who's been there for me for a very long time, and my life would be a lot worse because of it. So I just wanted to take this date to say how much I care about you, Colleen, what a great friend you are. I'm so proud of you for everything you've accomplished and what you're going to continue to accomplish. And I wish you nothing but the best. And hopefully we have many more years of an ongoing, wonderful friendship. Amanda and Shannon, you guys are okay, too. Thanks, ladies. Have a great show. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you, John. thank you. Do you guys know that the very first year that we did Metrobus, John got like a bunch of my friends to call in and like put together this really nice little thing that people Aww. Sang happy birthday. I know. Aww. Thank you, John.
That was sweet. Softy. Oh, yeah. That's really sweet.
I know. Yay. Anyway, yeah, so, you know.
Very, very nice.
Birthdays and shit. Be 33, guys.
Your birthday is in 35 minutes, 34 minutes.
Oh. Well, then we better wrap this sucker up.
Yeah. I'm sure you have more important things you would like to be doing.
I don't. Mm-hmm.
Like making a sex tape.
Yeah. I got to go do that before I'm too. Yeah. 33 might be my age limit. No. Yeah,
the clock is ticking.
No, Zach's been sick again. So he's been sleeping in our bed. And actually, since he's been sleeping in our bed, we've been putting the boxes of when we pack in his room. We're like, we'll just let him sleep in the bed for the rest of the week. I hear that's what kitchen sinks are for.
Right, exactly.
Oh, callback from like November.
so many Easter eggs.
Yeah. I believe you'll have a couple to break in.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. I will. One of them is super expensive, so I probably won't. yeah, there will be though. Lots of all the sinks. All the sinks. Yeah, no, but on that note, once we pass my birthday, then we're in the 2-week stretch before Shandy joins the 33 club.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited.
Yay.
32 is a good year.
It was a horrible year for me, so I'm excited to turn 33.
Yeah. I had some really good and really bad, and they like oddly intersected also. Mm. So it was a confusing year.
Well, sign of a life well lived. Yeah. If it's, you know, you shouldn't at this age have a year that's completely good or completely bad.
That's true.
It should be a mix of both.
Yeah, fair enough. True story.
Or at least that's what I tell myself to get up in the morning.
Anyways, ladies, I will talk to you guys in less than 24 hours.
I'm so excited. Yay!
Yes. It's going to be great. It's going to be so great, guys. But at this point, we need to thank some of the patrons. We are a part of the Jane Jack patrons group. Or network, rather, thingy. I don't know. We're part of their patrons page. If you would like to consider supporting us each month, you can donate from anywhere between like $1 to $1 million. $5 or more will get you into an exclusive patrons group. And we have a lot of fun in there. You can see my Luralu. Sorry. It's Lulaluru, but Jay calls it Rulaloo. My Rulaloo. Pants picture in there. What we were talking about, I posted in the patrons group. But if you would like to consider doing that, you also get an exclusive podcast each month that you vote on the topic. And if you are $15 or more, there's a hangout every month. We still have to do the January one. That's going to happen, I swear. I always make sure they happen. So yeah, if you would like to consider supporting our Patreon, it's patreon.com/JayandJack, or you can go to JayandJack.com and there's a little button up top that says become a patron. If you are a current patron, no matter what level you no matter what level you support us at, if you go to JayandJack.com/patrons, there's a thank you list. So there's a, you can find your name on the thank you list. And I try to update that every couple of weeks or so. So yeah, we're close to the Joint Married Man broadcast show as a Patreon fulfillment level. Once we hit $1,000 a month, once we hit $1,250 a month, we're going to do a giant trivia off between all of the different podcasts on the network. And that should be really fun. We're still some like $150 away from that. So, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, so please consider helping support us so we can get up to that goal. and will be goals every $250 from there. So, all right. I think on that note, I'd like to thank certain patrons that support us at a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, and Molly the Millennial. And Molly, if you're listening, we would love to hear from you. Like, what are your thoughts on a sex tape? You carry a lot of weight around here. You get a special thank you, and you're a female, so holler at us, yep. Molly. Holler at us. Anyway, on that note, guys.
And happy V-Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. You guys will hear this before Valentine's Day, but our next episode will be out after Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day, guys. I wish you all lots of sex, love, champagne, and sex tapes.
And Eve Ensler.
Yes, because all of our vaginas are flowers, unless yep. when there's a pussy.
All of our vaginas are happy.
On that note, guys. My name's Colleen.
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
All right, peace out.
Bye. Goodbye.
I just sprayed my computer. I was so excited.
That's weird.
I never spit when I talk, and I just...
Yeah, this... God, this would be ripe for the bloopers. I
know. Well, we are live, so if anyone's out there in YouTube land...